You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. We are week two into our new series called Thanks. Today, Pastor Ray delivers a message on how having gratitude can change your life.
Habitually practicing gratitude will change you. When you say thanks from the heart, early and often, it will change you, and it will change the people around you. It did for one guy in this story that I asked you to turn to a moment ago in Luke 17. So here's his story. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed between Samaria and Galilee. Entering a village, ten lepers, I've been in Africa, so give me a break. 10 lepers stood afar off, and they shouted, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Seeing them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. Now, Jesus is going to use a word that refers to healing 3 different times in this passage, but they're 3 different words. This is the first of those words, the word cleansed. It's the Greek word catharsis. You know what a cathartic experience, a catharsis is? It means to be cleansed. Leprosy was an unclean disease. And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, then one, realizing he was healed, that's the second word, and it literally means a physical healing. Then one, realizing that he was healed, returned loudly praising God, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. You know the Samaritans. They were kind of a mixed race. They were part Jew, part other. During the dispersion of the Jews hundreds of years before, some people were imported in and they mixed with the Jews and they created this race called the Samaritans. And the Jews despised them. They looked down on them. They were second-class citizens. They had some Judaism and some other religion. And so the Jews did not want to even mix with them. Now, this guy that got healed and returned to give thanks was a Samaritan. Jesus said, weren't 10 cleansed? Why aren't the 9 here to praise God except this foreigner? And he told him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And the Greek word there is the word for salvation, sozo. He was cleansed. He was healed. He was saved. Now, in fact, all 10 lepers were physically healed. And while they were all probably really good guys, there was only this one guy who was truly changed. He was truly changed. Now, why is that? I think it's because his intentional gratitude unleashed God's holistic power to transform. And so he was transformed physically. He was healed. I mean, he had leprosy. I've seen lepers in Africa. It's a horrible, horrible disease. If you've ever seen pictures of it, of limbs and nose and chin, I mean, it's a horrible, wasting disease. And he was immediately, physically, they all were healed. They were restored. It was a miracle. But they were relationally cleansed. They were outcast in the community, but they were brought back in to the community of Israel. They were cleansed. They were clean. But most importantly, they were saved. They were spiritually set aright. That's the power resident, the resident power in thanks to change your life wholly, wholly, body, soul, and spirit. Give thanks. It will change your life. Back in 1994 at the National Prayer Breakfast, Mother Teresa was the guest of honor. And she related this moving story. She told of how one night her team went out into the city and they picked up 4 very needy people off the streets, people in very bad shape, the poorest of the poor. And one of them, especially, was in very, very bad shape. And so she told the other sisters, you take care of the 3. I will personally take care of this dying woman. And Mother Teresa said that she did all that love could do for this woman. She tended to her, she talked to her, she cleansed her, and she put her into a bed. And as she put the lady into the bed, the woman smiled, she took hold of Mother Teresa's hands, and she looked her in the eyes, and then she uttered just 2 words. She said, thank you. Thank you. And then she died. I wonder, what would I have said if I were in that woman's place? What would you have said if you were in her condition, that place? I'm in pain. I'm afraid. This is so unfair. But she said, thanks. And she died with a smile on her face. Do you want to know the secret of dying with a smile on your face? And more importantly, of living with a smile on your face? Give thanks. It will change your life. Gratitude will change your life. So the question then is, how can we reorient away from our self-preoccupation, like the 9 lepers, to God's goodness, like the 1 leper that was totally transformed? How can we do that? Practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. And what a perfect month for us to be reminded to do that, that that's our calling. November, the Thanksgiving month. What a great opportunity and what a great reminder for us to begin to practice gratitude early and often. And what an inspiring model of gratitude that we have in Jesus. I mean, he was not only the object of gratitude, as in this story of the one leper, I should say, but surprisingly to me, he was also a continual source of gratitude. Do you know that Jesus was a grateful person? Now think of what that means. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is a part of the eternal Godhead. And yet he is a fundamentally thankful being. Here's what I mean by that. 16 times in each of the Gospels, we find Jesus expressing thanks as he prayed, even before meals. I mean, now think about that. In the bigger drama of the gospel, it's easy to miss the fact that Jesus, who was God, even stopped to give thanks before eating. Again, think about that. In a sense, isn't that like Jesus saying grace to himself? Everybody bow your heads. We're going to pray before we eat. I thank me for this food. Blessed to our bodies. In my name, amen. He gave thanks. He gave thanks before he ate, and he taught his disciples. So he modeled that. Now listen, here's the point. If Jesus, who didn't have to, did, then how much more who definitely should be giving thanks? If Jesus did it, don't you think we ought to do it early and often as well? Give thanks. It will change your life. Jesus modeled the propriety, the rightness, and the power of gratitude. And he was showing that even saying thank you to God before a meal, and probably all of us do that. We all should, I think, give thanks before we eat. Jesus was showing that by himself doing it, that it's the simplest recurring way to acknowledge the God who provides all that we have. What a great tool, what a great pathway to be grateful people, just by stopping to say, thank you, God, for this meal. So today, from Jesus' example, I want to offer a simple way to focus on God's generosity so that the transforming power of gratitude can be unleashed in your life. Saying, well, I already prayed before meals. I already do that. Well, there's deeper dimensions of gratitude that we can offer to God, and there are deeper experiences of God's favor, the transforming power of his grace in our lives. And this is a way, a simple, easy-to-do way that we can enter into that. I'm calling this the Thanks Challenge. Thanks Challenge. And just like Jesus, it's simply intentionally practicing gratitude at meals. And you have a great opportunity to put this into practice about a half hour from now when you go to lunch. This time, as you stop to say thanks, you're going to do a couple of things with that. And you're going to intentionally say, God, I thank you for your goodness in my life. It's now 12 days to Thanksgiving. Depending on how many meals a day you eat, 1, 2, 3, 10, I don't know, however many you eat, that means 12 to 36 times at least to give thanks to God, to pause and to just say thank you to God. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. You might just overlook it because it's so simple. And yet, it's profoundly powerful. It really is. It's a great Christian writer. Many of you have heard of him by the name of A.W. Tozer. And this is what he said. He said, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it's one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer but richer for having made it. Not only is it easy, but it's self-benefiting. Do you realize that gratitude is self-benefiting? It's a guy by the name of Bruce Chapman, Dr. Bruce Chapman, an amazing guy. He's the president of what's called the Discovery Institute. This is what he wrote. He wrote, gratitude is not only the greatest of the virtues, but it's the parent of all others. And that's why as parents, it would be good for you to teach your children gratitude, because it gives rise to all the other virtues that you want to inculcate in their lives as well. And that's why parents, you ought to say, what's the magic word, please? What's the other magic words? Thank you. Teach your kids to be grateful. He goes on to say that gratitude opens the heart to deeper appreciation, compassion, repentance, forgiveness, generosity, and wisdom. Now, don't you think our culture right now needs some of that? I mean, what we've been through in the last couple of months, politically, or the last couple of years, or the last 10 years, where we just have been at each other's throat, we're divided, we're hostile, we're nasty to one another. What if all the Christians in the United States begin to practice gratitude this way? I believe it would unleash a revolution, a revival of kindness and respect and virtue in our culture. We need to learn to be grateful people. It will change you and those around you. And this is what he ends by saying this. Cultivate gratitude as a habit. It is a kind of therapy of the spirit or for the spirit. Thanks therapy. Try it. Thanks therapy. It's how we can consistently recognize God's ceaseless but often unrecognized bounty in our lives. And when we do that, that in turn continually invites God's blessing into our lives. Say thanks. It'll change your life. So, here is a very simple two-step activity that you can practice throughout the day, at every meal. You might even want to add at every coffee time or every tea time or every time you open your mouth to put something in it. You're taking a piece of gum. Stop and say, thank you, God. Thank you. Here's a two-step practice or activity that you can do throughout this remaining 12 Days of Thanks challenge. Here's the first one. Before you pray, intentionally practice noticing. Intentionally practice noticing. Life is full of gifts that we often don't see because we're so focused on what we don't have rather than on what we have. So start noticing. Start noticing all the good things that God has brought into your life. Being in Africa, I was reminded, and having been in some village huts, visiting with Christians, I was reminded of a parable of a guy in Africa who lived in a hut, small hut, with his wife, his two kids, and his aging parents. And the noise and the mess were just driving him nuts. He was just sick and tired of it. And so he went to the village elder, and he asked for advice. And the village elder says, well, here's what I want you to do. Take a rooster and bring it into the hut with you and come see me in a week. Yeah, I went, all right. So he brought a rooster into the hut with him, and a week later he went back to the wise guy, the village elder, and he said, this is horrible. The rooster's crowing all the time and making a mess everywhere. What do I do? The guy said, well, do you have a cow? Bring it into the hut with you along with the rooster and come back and see me in a week. So he did it. And week after week he added a goat, a dog, and then his brother's kids, until he could stand it no longer, and he kicked them all out, leaving only his wife, his two kids, and his aging parents. And suddenly he was grateful for how peaceful and quiet his hut was. I was in a tiny, crowded hut 2 weeks ago. Amazing experience. I could touch both walls with my outstretched hands. I visited an older woman, by the way. She must have been in her 80s. I don't know how old she was. And talked with her and blessed her. And before I walked out, she grabbed my hand and she spit in it. And I was like, and the guy said, that's a blessing. I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, that was a unique experience. But I was in this hut, and family lived there. They didn't even have beds. They didn't have a bathroom, but they noticed. They noticed all they had. I've got a bedroom, got a few of them in my house, got a few bathrooms in my house. They noticed in a way that I don't. They noticed, and they were grateful. They noticed. So should I. So should you. Practice noticing. And then second, pray gratefully. After you've noticed, give thanks to God. Before you eat, say thank you for what you've noticed. Gratitude reorients you to the ceaseless goodness of God that you probably have overlooked. 100 years ago, there was an author by the name of Fulton Owsler. And he wrote of his African-American nurse. Get her name. Get this. Her name was Anna Marie Cecily Sophie Virginia Avalon Thessalonians. I would like to see Linda Noah dedicate that baby, right, and go through all the names. That would take like an hour just for that. Now, Anna was present when his mother was born, and she was there when Fulton was born as well. Served the family for a long time, and this is what he writes about her. He says, I remember her as she sat across the kitchen table, her old hardened hands folded across her starched apron, the glistening dark eyes lifted to the whitewashed ceilings, and the husky old voice whispering this prayer. Much obliged, Lord, for my victuals. I ask Ann, what's a victual? She said, it's what you got to eat and drink. That's victuals. I said, but you get your victuals whether you thank the Lord or not. She said, sure, but it makes everything taste better to be thankful. It's true. After she ate, she thanked the Lord again. And then she said, it's a funny thing about being thankful. It's a game a preacher taught me, to look for things to be thankful for. Many of them you pass right by unless you go looking for them. Practice noticing. Take this morning, she said. I awoke and I lay there wondering, what do I now got to be thankful for? You know, I couldn't think of anything. But then from the kitchen comes the most delicious smell that ever tickled my nose. Coffee. Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee. I'm much obliged, too, for the smell of it. Years later, Fulton was called to Anna's deathbed. The house was full of people that she had touched in her long life. She was twisted and racked in pain. And he wondered, is she still thankful? Is she thankful now? Just then, she opened her eyes, looked at all the people there in the room, and she shut them again and said with a smile, Lord, much obliged for such fine friends. You know, you've got fine friends. And you've got fine food. And you've got fine things. And you've got a fine life. By comparison, you've got a fine life. You really do. So practice noticing and pray gratefully. It will open your eyes to all that you have. I want to close by returning to the story of the lepers for just a few minutes, and then we're going to pray. You know, when you think about it, the ingratitude of the nine is absolutely stunning. When you think about what God, through Jesus, had done for them. The text says, you noticed it a few moments ago, says they stood afar off. The Greek word means they kept their distance. Why? They had to. They were community outcasts. Their leprosy dictated that they would be ostracized, kept away from the community. In Israel, a leper had to stand 50 yards off if they were upwind of people. They had to cover themselves. They had to shout unclean. And not only physically horrible, the disease, this wasting skin disease is horrible, but their isolation, the isolation forced upon them because of their leprosy was even more unbearable emotionally. They had no contact except with other lepers. But they are physically, fully, instantly set free. They're made clean. And by being made clean, they are restored to the community of Israel. And yet they are so caught up in what they wanted that they didn't even say thank you. Now, I want to ask you this. Why do you think those details were included in this story? And ask yourself, why did Luke put these details in the story? He could have just said Jesus healed a leper. Is it to show that Jesus has power over disease, even the worst kind of physical disease, that he can heal it? And not only can he can heal it instantaneously. Probably, that's why it's there. Was the story to show that this Samaritan, this despised outcast of a person, who was the most unlikely and unworthy of salvation, actually became a candidate to the Lord and showed credit that even people that you don't think can get saved and get touched can? I think that's probably why it's there. But I think that the real reason, the most important reason why it's there, is to remind us that a child's ingratitude for their parents' generosity is especially painful to a parent. Have you ever experienced that with your kids? You've done this and that for them out of love, out of sacrifice, and they're not grateful? You're just going, oh, it's painful. Think of how long a parent nurtures their child on the way to adulthood. How long we need our parents to survive and to thrive into adulthood. Do you realize that of all of the animals that were created by God, the human being needs nurtured the longest? No other animal is even close to that. And then for a child to be thankless, how painful. There's a line in King Lear that says, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Sharper than a serpent's tooth to have a thankless child. Well, how much more painful to God our Father, the ultimate parent, the one who sacrificed everything, when we are not grateful. How painful. He deserves our thanks. So practice noticing and pray gratefully. I'm going to invite Christelle to come to the piano. We're going to pray in a moment. Just prayers of gratitude. Before we do, I just want to share with you, you know, most of you know that what happened in my family these last few weeks. My mom began to decline rapidly. She was in her early 80s. She's pretty healthy in a care home because of some memory loss, but she was relatively physically healthy. And I got a call from her caregivers that said she's taken a turn. She's declining fast, and we recommend that you put her in the hospice care. And they said, we don't think that, just watching this, she's not eating, she's not doing well, we don't think that she will last more than a few days. Well, this is the week before I was to go to Africa. And they said, if you want to see her alive, you better come down here. And so the Saturday before I left for Africa, so Saturday I went down to Eugene where she lived and came back here Sunday and preached and then left Sunday night. And I walked into my mom's room and she was just a shell of what she had been. Once vibrant woman, it was just shocking to see the decline. And so I sat with her and they said she's not eating and maybe you can get her to eat. So I took a cup of Jell-O. And I fed my mom. And I thought, how often she fed me. And she bathed me. She clothed me. She took care of me. And I don't know that I ever said thank you for that. And so I sat by her bedside. I held her hand. And I just began to recount to her all the things that I was grateful for. I thanked her for giving me life and for nurturing me all those years. I thanked her for loving me unconditionally, even when as a teenager I wasn't too lovable. I thanked her for serving our family tirelessly, probably without ever a word of thanks from us. I thanked her for believing in me unceasingly and leading me to faith in Christ as a young boy. And then as an adult of encouraging and supporting me in ministry. And as I shared with her all of the things that I was grateful for, she just stared blankly. If she stared at all, most of the time just was not awake. But she just stared without acknowledging my words. And I wished I had offered thanks more often in our talks, in our communication. Over the years, I thought, I wish I would have been more grateful. Well, 2 days after I left into the trip, I got a text from my older brother that she had passed from life to glory. She went home to be with Jesus. But before I left Eugene, that final time that I saw her, as I said my final, I love you, Mom, and I walked to the door. I turned around, and as I was at the doorway, she called out after me. And she said, "Thank you. I love you, Ray." What a gift. What a gift that I will cherish for as long as I live. The gift of grace. And what a challenge to let no thank you go unspoken to the people that I love. To Linda, to my daughters and sons-in-law and their families, to all of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And mostly to my Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Practice gratitude. Pray gratefully. Start noticing. It will change your life. We're going to pray in a moment. Before we do, Christelle, would you lead us in this song? Make this your prayer of gratitude to the Lord. Unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. I give thanks for all you have done. All the battles you have won, love is unfailing. Lord, I am grateful. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. And we just say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Would you bow your heads, please? You know, probably the strongest way that you can say thank you to God is by saying, I receive your grace in my life. I receive Jesus into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. If you have never done that, there's no stronger way to say, God, I thank you for who you are and what you've done for me. And so as I pray this final prayer, if you've never received Jesus as your gift of grace, or maybe you've did that in the past, but you just have walked away from that, just recommit to that and just say, thank you, God, I received Jesus today. And then for the rest of us, my prayer for you is just going to be that the Holy Spirit will enliven these words in your heart, that this week, when you go forth from this place, today at lunch, from here on out through Thanksgiving, and for every day for the rest of your life, that you will live as a fundamentally grateful being. God, I pray for your people today. I pray that you would take the words from this message and from the scripture, and you would enliven those words to our hearts. And even if we've been thankful, we can be more thankful. Even if we practice gratitude, we can do it more. Lord, as we do that, just that we would understand that it's transformative. It will change our lives. It will change the people around us. It will change our culture. If enough of us get together and do this, it will change America. God, I pray for anyone that is receiving you this morning as your gift of grace or recommitting their lives to you. God, I just pray that this act of gratitude of receiving Jesus, saying thank you, God, would be transformative in their lives as well. So God, we lift this to you and we thank you for it. Just say that with me, thank you, God. Say, thank you, God. Say it again, thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's grateful people said, amen. Would you stand, please, for the final blessing as you go your way? May God give you the grace and the unction of the Holy Spirit. You know what unction means? I don't either, but I heard it. The unction of the Holy Spirit to live as grateful people. God bless you as you go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.